Please take your seat so we can get started.
Welcome to Lesson 5, where we learn more about the muscular system. After completing this lesson, you should be able to describe the general features of the skeletal muscles and the general arrangement of the trunk and limb musculature. If I were to give you a sample drawing, I would expect you to successfully identify the class of lever. I would want you to be able to name the components of a skeletal muscular unit. Given a description of a muscle's role in motion, name that role. The cellular elements of muscle tissues are specialized to produce motion by contraction. They also produce body heat. Smooth muscle tissue is utilized to make up the muscular portion of the various visceral organs such as the stomach, blood vessels, and others. Cardiac muscle tissue makes up the muscular wall of the heart, the myocardium. Striated muscle tissue is used in the makeup of several types of muscle. The main type of muscle is the skeletal muscle. Other types of muscles made with striated muscle tissue are the facial or integumentary muscles and the muscles of the jaw apparatus. Each skeletal muscle is an individual organ of the human body. Each is made up of several types of tissues, mainly striated muscle fibers and fibrous connective tissue. Each is attached to and moves bones. Bones are part of the skeleton, serving as levers. The large portion of a muscle is known as its belly or fleshy belly. This muscle is attached to bones by tendons or aponeuroses. Tendons and aponeuroses are similar to each other. However, tendons are cord-like and aponeuroses are broad and flat. The fleshy portion may be directly connected to the bone. If so, it is called a fleshy attachment. From the main nerve, artery, vein, and lymphatic, there are branches going to each muscle. These muscular branches are bound together by a fibrous connective tissue sheath to form a neurovascular bundle. The motor point is that specific location on the surface of the muscle where the neurovascular bundle enters. A motor unit is the single motor neuron and the number of striated muscle fibers activated by it. This is called innervation. The importance of the motor unit is that its fibers work in unison. Either all fibers within a unit contract or none of them contract. When a certain amount of force is needed, one unit after another is recruited until just enough units are available to produce the desired action. The name of a muscle may appear with the abbreviation M, meaning musculus or muscle. The abbreviation of muscles, the plural form, is the symbol MM. Skeletal muscles are named according to their physical attributes, in other words, their shape, size, length, location, or function. For example, the deltoid muscle takes its name from delta, the Greek letter for D. The biceps muscle comes from the Greek term biceps, which means two heads. The adductor magnus muscle comes from the Greek magnus, meaning great or large. The adductor longus muscle takes its name from longus, which is Greek for long. The biceps brachii muscle indicates the location of the muscle in the arm. The biceps femoris muscle is located in the femoris or the thigh. The rotatorus muscles come from the Greek term rotatorus or rotators. These muscles turn or rotate the vertebral column. The trunk musculature is arranged in two ways, longitudinal muscles and oblique muscles. Together they maintain the trunk posture, they move the parts of the trunk, and they adjust the internal pressures of the trunk to perform certain functions such as breathing. The limb musculature is arranged around the joints to produce the appropriate motions of the limbs. Elementary mechanics are described in the next section to help you understand typical arrangements of limb musculature. Muscles and bones together work like machines within the laws of physics and chemistry. Lever and pulley systems are examples of simple machines found commonly in the human body. There are three classes of levers, first, second, and third. In a first-class lever, the weight to be moved is at one end of the lever. The applied force is at the other end, and the fulcrum, in other words the pivot or turning point, is between the two. In a second-class lever, the weight to be moved is between the applied force and the fulcrum. This type of lever enables a weight to be moved with less force than would be required without a lever. Some people feel that there are no second-class levers in the human body. In the third-class lever, the weight to be moved is at one end of the lever, the fulcrum is at the other end, and the applied force is between the weight and the fulcrum. This type of lever provides speed, but a greater amount of force is required for a given weight. This is the most common type of lever in the human body. In the human body, when the tendon of a skeletal muscle slides over a round bony surface, the system acts like a simple pulley. A simple pulley provides a change in the direction of the force or muscle pull. There is no change in the amount of force produced by the muscle. For example, the knee acts as a simple pulley by which the quadriceps femoris muscle extends the leg. Sesamoid bones, such as the patella or kneecap, develop in tendons where pressure is applied to the tendon. The skeletal muscular unit is a working concept of a muscle and skeleton producing motion. Components of a skeletal muscular unit are bones, a joint, and skeleton muscles. Bones act as levers and as attachment sites for skeletal muscles. Joints are the center, the fulcrum point, or axis of motion. Skeletal muscles apply the forces for motion. Any given motion utilizes a group of muscles working together. A skeletal muscle may serve only one of the three following major roles during a particular motion. Prime mover is the first. The muscle which makes the main effort for a given motion is called the prime mover or agonist. Synergist is the second. A synergist is a muscle which assists the prime mover. Syn means together, and erg is a unit of effort. The third is antagonist. An antagonist applies a force opposite to that of the prime mover. By opposing the prime mover, the antagonist helps control the motion. The antagonist also brings the limb or other part back to its original position. This completes Lesson 5. Before continuing, you should carefully study the images in the lecture notes, particularly the names of the major muscles. It's important for all medical professionals to have a working knowledge of these names. Then, when you are ready, test your knowledge by taking the self-assessment test. On successful completion of the self-assessment test, you are ready to move on to Lesson 6, the Human Digestive System.